Welcome to the Moral Marriage Podcast, guys. I am super excited today because today we're talking about ripping up divorce papers. But today, I know this might surprise you, I'm not going to do all the talking. We're going to talk about why peace is so important in the home.
Stop trying to lead and make decisions all the time.
You should not be proud if you raised your voice and screamed at them.
No matter what.
I'm Cass.
And I'm Catherine. Why am I allowing him to do this in front of our children? Why am I allowing this to happen at all? You don't get to say whatever you want to a man and push him to the point where he snaps.
I might have been a really bad man the other day, but today I went out of my way to be a good man and she thanked me for it.
It's that you always want to act in the direction you want to go. So
he is just a paycheck. What about his needs?
We're Moral Marriage.
Let's flip divorce statistics with the new marriage. What?
Whoa.
What?
What?
All right, we've got some very special guests. I'm going to bring them on here today. And here we are. This is Bill and Jen. Bill is a man, a lord in my program. Bill came to me with, I think it was 8 weeks to go before the papers were final, the divorce papers.
Close to that, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so I'd love to hear a little bit more about your story. As you know, I don't believe in the story. I believe in the symptoms and the results and the treatments that create those results. So I'd love to hear a little bit of what led you guys there. But I do know this. I want everybody to hang around in this episode because five weeks into the program, she gave you the papers. Jen, you handed Bill the papers and said, do what you want with them. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. I love that.
Give or take a week. Yeah.
Yeah. It was right in that time frame. So.
That's amazing. So do you guys mind sharing a little bit about your past? What, you don't have to go crazy. You don't have to go nuts. Just what led you to say it was done?
In my version? Or?
Oh, yeah. We only care about your version right now.
We love the women's version, the true version.
The true version.
Yeah.
Sure. I guess it mostly started when we moved. We had a big move in our life and we, you know, changed states and got here. I'm a very big social family person. Like he always would complain. He's like, everything doesn't have to be an event. And I'm like, why not? You know, why wouldn't you celebrate these things and do all of this? So we had this big move and it became, he became very dominant over what I was doing or how I was doing it. To me, in my words, I told him it seemed like a power play for him to get me away from all of my friends and my family and here, and then he could control me and what I did and what I didn't do and the whole situation. And it really went downhill and it just progressively got worse and worse. It became more abusive. He was never physically abusive to me, but the emotional and the verbal, it really just became too much. I mean, we slept in separate rooms for a year.
Yeah.
For a year because I couldn't even sleep if he was around. So it really got rough around here with all of that going on.
Wow. That sounds awful. And I get it, right? I mean, I put Catherine through all of that. So I get it. Tell me then, in those short weeks that you saw changes in Bill, is there anything that stood out to you right away that was kind of like, well, something's different here?
There were lots of moments where he was listening. I mean, he would listen. No matter if I was angry or yelling or if I was just trying to have a conversation, he would listen. And he would even think about it and come back and bring the conversation back to me later. And I'm like, what are you doing? Like, why are you talking to me about this again? I already said what I said, you know? And he's like, no, but I really thought about what you said and I heard you and I want you to know this is what I see. So he started listening, which was huge because he's never listened ever, but he started listening. And then the biggest thing for me is he learned to take responsibility and hold himself accountable for things. And I don't know if we can cuss on here, but I do cuss a lot. But one of the biggest ones is the biggest fight that we had is I would be in the kitchen doing, you know, cooking or cleaning or, you know, whatever. And he was always on the couch. He would just sit on the couch and just bark orders or yell or whatever. And he would always get up and yell at me if he talked to me from the couch and I was in the kitchen and didn't hear him. I was ignoring him. I was not paying attention. I, you know, not being responsive, all of these. But I was in the kitchen one day and he was in the living room. And he said something and I guess just immediate reaction. I just like, oh crap, he's talking, you know? And I turned, you know, and I was like, are you talking to me? And he said, no, I'm talking to myself. We had decided to build a fire in the fireplace and he opened the doors and he said, are you fucking kidding me? Which would be a natural thing for him to say, like, if I'm not listening, right? So my mind flashed back over there. And I was like, okay. And he just turned around. He said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you're married to a lazy piece of shit. He's like, this has been in here like this for over a year. I said, I know. And he started taking accountability. And that was a big, big thing for him and for me, because it was never any of his actions or any of the things that he did.
Amazing. So I'm picking up on peace, you know, probably a lot of safety, trust with accountability, of course, and with the peace. And you started to see that you have a bit of a partnership. You can have a partner. He's showing up a little bit. But did you pick up anything there?
Yeah. I mean, from my perspective, I'm feeling a lot of empathy for your situation because, you know, when you said that you were sleeping in different rooms, the level of fear that you were feeling and the hypervigilance that you were feeling being around him, swearing and cussing at you and yelling and having all this conflict, and then coming to the point where he has a similar behavior, but he's talking to himself, but you probably went into, again, hypervigilance, thinking, you know, take a deep breath. He's doing it again. He's swearing at me. He's yelling at me. And then you say, are you talking to me? And he says, no, I'm sorry. Not only, you know, is he sorry? He's first of all, he's speaking to himself, but he's sorry that he hasn't been taking care of things around the home that he has. It was probably like a breath of fresh air for you. And at the same time, you didn't even know how to breathe it in because it was so drastically different from the fear, the PTSD feelings, the hypervigilance, the anxiety, the sheer panic that you would feel when normally he was speaking that way towards you. So it's amazing to me. I remember being in that same position and it's really difficult to go from hypervigilant to feeling peace. Even though you see that there's peace there, your body has that emotional response even when he's talking to himself. So I'm just on the edge of my seat listening to your story. I love it.
So well, things like that, that really made me stop and notice and say, hey, what are you doing? Like, what is this? And what is happening here? I'm not doing anything different because I'm done. I can't do anymore. You know, I've tried to help. I've tried to argue. I've tried to fight. I tried to just be small and quiet. Nothing worked. So I'm like, what are you doing?
So flash forward to now, what is your relationship like now?
Now it's really good. It's a whole lot better, obviously. And it's like I told everybody, I mean, I love him or else I would not have still been here, you know, but it's a lot better now. We're much better at communicating. We can talk and listen. We still get crossways, which I imagine is normal ish.
It is normal. If I could just speak to that for a quick second, I always say that I'm like 97 or 98% there, but that 2% that's left over is vicious and you do not want to mess with that 2%. And you can so you can be amazing in your relationship. We have as close to perfect as possible a marriage. I don't even know if I said that right. Our marriage is as close to perfect as possible. But when we get into it, we both have a really ugly side. So yes, it's normal. The goal though would be to make those occurrences fewer and fewer. And when they do happen, have a quicker turnaround time and a better reflection and a better repair so that you can come out stronger because you got through something that was horrifying. You know, we only have a couple of fights a year, but when we do, they're not pretty. They're horrifying, but we can get through them more quickly. We can get through them and be on the same team again. And that is a huge win. So if you can look at it that way, every time you go through one of those times where you're fighting, yes, it's normal. Think about the connection afterwards.
Right.
So Bill,
and that turnaround time, I found that in this journey to become this new man,
that the difference is, like, the other morning when we got a little crossways, I went right back into my nice guy. I was like, well, she just doesn't understand. I'm doing this. It was about me not following through on things that I said. But it was less than a couple of minutes. And then I took a breath and I was like, you know, you're right. I wasn't following through, you know. So it's not that this program makes you a perfect husband. What it does is it makes you realize that when you do make a mistake, you recover very quickly. You notice what's wrong and you're like, wait a minute, why am I doing this? And then the recovery time is very quick, you know?
Yeah. I'm glad that you brought that up, because it's paramount for people to understand. We're never going to be perfect, but you'll have the tools, you have the skills. It's like when you guys say, thank you, Cass. I'm like, I just give the tools, man. You either use them or you didn't. You used them fast. You dove in, man. You love your wife. Like, that first call, like, you were dead. You were dying, right?
Well, look at her. She's beautiful. Of course he wants to save that. The grass is not greener anywhere else.
No, it's not.
Well, and made a good decision.
And how many years married again? I can't remember, but it's decades, right?
No.
Six years.
Married.
Okay.
But okay. She was my first kiss in junior high. That's what you loved about my story.
Oh, there we go. That's why I'm remembering his decades. Okay. So you don't want to throw away that kind of beautiful, like, so I'm really impressed. I'm really proud of both of you, because, Jen, obviously it's going to be scary to trust. So to have the courage and say, okay, I believe in what's going on here. And Bill, obviously, for showing up. But I mean, you had some other things going for you. You believe in what I do. You like leading men. You're helping me with the growth of the company. Like, you're super excited. And I think, Jen, you like that. You're helping him a lot with it. Kind of looking over his shoulder a little bit. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, like when we were doing the whole Twitter thing, and my dog died, and she bought me a dog, and I had to drive that trip to Michigan, which I acted like an ass in that point too.
Acting like an ass.
I fell back into my anxiety. You remember Cass would put his foot right in my bottom and pull me out of stuff very quickly. The Cass we know and love, like I said the other day. But even on that trip, I forgot my laptop at the house, and we were doing that project on Twitter together, and I couldn't do the post, and I called her. And I think that's when she really started seeing what the program was, because she started seeing his crazy ass post with all them hooks in it. But it was really more about not the women. It was because he's calling us men. He says calling up. I say he calls us out about about what we're doing and how. Like in the beginning, man, I really lost myself when we moved up here. Things were great. And then my business, the economy crashed, and we went from making millions of dollars to losing millions of dollars. And
been there.
And I was that provider. That's what drew me to Cass. He's like, providers don't have great sex. And I'm like, no shit. I was the provider. And now I'm having no sex. And that's what really hooked me in the beginning. And then when I dug into the problem and I realized that the insecurities that I had and how I was pushing that off on my wife and my expectations towards her. I put her on, and it wasn't you. I put her on such a pedestal. There was no way I could live up to the expectations I thought she had for me. Mm-hmm. And once I realized that that wasn't her, it was me, and that I don't want her on a pedestal. And I think I actually told you once, I was like, I don't want to keep putting you up there. I want you to take my hand and walk through this life with me. I think I said that at one point.
And I was like, I didn't put me up there.
Yeah, it was me. I did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. We don't have to be up there.
No, in fact, it's how it goes with all of them. It's not you. It's you.
Yeah.
It's okay. Not you, it's your kind.
Yeah, that's
the,
right.
The male species.
It is the male species. Yeah. So listen, guys, we really appreciate your time. Before we go, is there anything that you would recommend, knowing that you can save your marriage, knowing that you can look past some of the damage and some bad damage, it sounds like, you know? Is there anything that you would like to share as wisdom? Because, you know, I want, Catherine, I believe we want you all to be leaders. We want to disrupt divorce. So what do you have to say about that?
All I have to say is, I mean, I was done with him. Like, done. I can't. I'm not going to live this way. I'm not going to be treated this way. I'm not. I've got a daughter. You know, I'm not going to let her see this and think this is okay anymore. I'm done. You know, and then we had some things, and you know, that forced us to still be in, you know, communication and contact. And then he started making these changes. If you love them, and in my opinion, if you love them and you can see these changes and they are true changes and they do work and are helping, I mean, as hard as it is, and it's hard, I know I did it, but see if there is the ability in you to give it a chance.
Wow. Good for you. Great. I love that. Bill, what about you?
I think on the men's side, and you know, I mentor guys with you now too. And I tell them once I actually stopped trying to fix my marriage and I took your program, and I used to use the word submit. Now I'd say embrace. When I truly embraced the knowledge that you were giving us, the tools that you were giving us, I used the program to learn how to implement those tools. And I started looking at what can I do to level me up? Because how can I lead my wife and my family if I can't lead myself?
No, so amen.
It was all about focusing on becoming the best version of me, which then I started noticing it was inspiring her to be more open, because I was providing that structure to where she could tell me things, and I wasn't defensive, and I wasn't just reacting. I was truly hearing. And that was probably the hardest part. I'm going to get teary-eyed. When you find out what you put your family through or your wife through. And I think just working on, use the program to become a better man. And then everything else kind of falls into place. The fog lifts. I'm doing a little better in business. We're working on our exit plan. We got multiple streams of income now, and it changes everything when you work on you.
You can't control that. You are the big bad race car. She's the racing stripes, man. She's exactly. Come along for the ride. Let's get her in shotgun. We'll get her riding your stick even. But hey, you're still the big bad race car. Okay.
Can I say one thing?
Yes, baby.
Bill, I just want to recognize you for how hard it must have been. You know, it sounds like you were a real jerk. So it's really hard to go from being that person to being this tender, protective man that's reflecting and looking at how much you put her through. And Jen, same thing. I want to recognize you for seeing his changes and for opening your heart to being willing to accept them, because sometimes what happens, especially as women, is we get these walls of bitterness and resentment, and it's really hard to take those walls down. So both of you, I think it's amazing. I got teary-eyed a couple times listening to your story. It really hits home for me, and it's so nice to hear the success stories. We have such a heavy role that we are in, and while we have a lot of success, we go through those first 5 weeks with you guys. We're in the trenches with you, and it's so nice to see you on the other side. So I just want to just tell you that we love you guys. We think that you're both amazing, and it's difficult on both sides. So you're both incredible people.
Thank you. I feel the same way about you guys. So
yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
It's our pleasure.
Yeah. Again, we look forward to working with you some more. Thank you for everything that you guys have done. Most importantly, disrupting divorce with us.
Amen. Love it.
Exactly.
All right. Well, thanks for your time today, guys.
Hey, no problem. Thank you for letting us be on here and tell our story.
So. You got it. Tell the world.
Right. I'm going to.
Bye,
right.
Everybody.
Bye, everybody.